Good morning, Mrs. Bush. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks.
It's been just 1 week since the president announced the Helping America's Youth Initiative, and already you've traveled to Philadelphia and Baltimore. You have plans to go to Detroit tomorrow.
That's right.
To talk about that. What's the main message you're taking out as you travel?
Well, the message is really that we need to pay attention to young people, particularly boys, but boys and girls. And I want to highlight programs that I think are effective, that we know are effective, that we have some sort of research that shows they're effective, so people around the country can think about it and can try to incorporate some of these programs in their schools or in their communities. I also really want the American people to know that we need to pay attention. We need to realize what the statistics are on boys, and they're quite alarming. Boys go to college in fewer numbers than girls. About 90% of the children in gangs are boys. Boys, as we all know, more boys end up in jail than girls do. Boys start falling behind girls in elementary school in their studies. And so I really think we need to shift our focus a little bit to boys and see what we can do to help American boys build successful lives.
And that's a shift for you because as parents, you and the president, of course, know the challenges of girls.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
But as you point out, the boys, they have some especially difficult times. And when we talk about adolescent youth, we often think the problem starts there. But as you were pointing out, if you start early, prevention
is key. That's right. It's very important to start early if we possibly can. There is, though, encouraging research that shows that middle school and high school age children can be taught to read pretty quickly or brought up to their grade level pretty quickly. And so I hope that middle schools and high schools around the country will incorporate reading in all of their subjects and then use some of this new research to intervene or intercede in the lives of children who have gotten that far and are not reading well. We know that high school students who can't read are the ones that drop out. It's very difficult to do any subject in high school if you aren't a good reader. So because of that, there are plenty of things we can do for older youth as well. But the program I visited yesterday in Baltimore was for first graders. And it's a program that they have about 20 years of research on. It's been in the Baltimore School District for a long time. And it's a program to teach first graders how to be students, that it isn't intuitive, that you have to learn to stay in your seat, to raise your hand, to stay on task. And it was a really very, very exciting and fun day to visit these schools.
And it was called the Good Behavior Game, right?
That's right, the Good Behavior Game. The class is divided up into three teams. And they all know what the rules are. They have the rules on the bulletin board as well as on their desk, posted on their desk. And so if you break a rule, if you jump up out of your chair or yell out or do any of the things that are against the rules, then your team gets a mark. And so it's a great way to use peer pressure as well as just focusing on what it is to be a student, each one of the behaviors that we want students to have.
In addition to early childhood education, which you're familiar with given your teaching background, when the students are older, when intervention is needed, especially when we're talking about boys, and especially in urban settings, many of them don't have positive father figures. When you're traveling out on this initiative, who are you going to be calling on to help fill that gap in their lives?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to be in Detroit where I'm going to call on coaches, talk with coaches. Coaches already fill that gap in the lives of boys around our country. Many, many young men, when you ask who their mentors are, who really helped them the most, will say their parents first, and then they'll say a coach. And so that's a natural role for coaches to be involved. They already are in helping boys build their lives so they'll be successful men. But also I want to that one of the most alarming statistics about boys, and this is another thing we need to get out, is that boys, there are so many more single families that there are many, many more boys who don't have a man in their life. And it's very important for men to consider teaching again, to go back and teach like many men used to in other generations. Elementary schools need men teachers. Middle schools and high schools need men teachers. It's very important for us to try to figure out ways to mentor, for men to mentor boys.
One of the risky behaviors that the boys get drawn into often, in many cases, is the gang life. And this caught the president's attention as well as yours. What is the president specifically proposing with his new initiative?
Well, with the new initiative, the funding that comes with the new initiative, there will be funding of programs that do things that help boys stay out of gangs. For instance, the Boys and Girls Club that I visited in Philadelphia, there is research that shows if a Boys and Girls Club is in a neighborhood that their crime statistics, their vandalism statistics drop in that neighborhood. The class that I visited at that Boys and Girls Club was called Passport to Manhood, and it was a wonderful young professional man who led these boys as they talked about the characteristics they want when they're men. The characteristics of respect, respecting themselves and respecting others. It was really a very moving class to be involved in, to hear these boys, and they were probably 8 years old and maybe 13 or 14 years old, talk about these characteristics.
Whether it's prevention at the early grade levels or intervention later in the teen years if necessary, it seems that it boils down to children and young people knowing the difference between right and wrong.
Well, that's right. And it also boils down to having adults, caring adults, involved in the lives of children. And that's parents, of course, first. And parents need to really realize their role as their child's first teacher. And then teachers, community leaders, ministers in churches, all the people that can in some way make a difference in the life of the child need to step up and try to do it.
With our nation so increasingly diverse and the sensitivity to be tolerant, has it become more difficult to teach some of those values of right and wrong, do you think?
Maybe we don't mention them as much as we should. Maybe families don't talk about those values, but the values are timeless. We all agree on them. We know that we want honest. We want our children to be honest, that we want our children to respect other people. We want them to respect property. We want them to respect other people's property and their own. All those characteristics really are timeless characteristics.
President Bush has been steadfast in his support of religious charities and the role that faith-based groups can play in solving social problems, especially when it comes to substance abuse, and even helping offer alternatives to boys who might be interested in gangs. And that's a key component of this initiative, is it not?
That's right. And faith-based groups are, along with a lot of other community groups, are a key component. But we know that a lot of times faith-based groups, for instance, prison ministries, are the groups that can have success with people. That if people have a chance to change their heart and are mentored by people who are loving and give them the kind of support that they need, the kind of emotional support that they need, that people can really change their lives.
Well, thank you for your time. If I might ask just another subject, you're personally good friends, of course, with Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen her this week overseas on her first.
She's been so terrific. She's just been great, and I've loved reading about her trip. We have spent a lot of time with Condi because somebody from the National Security, when she was National Security Advisor, are always with the president, and so we just wanted it to always be Condi. She went to Camp David with us almost every time we went to the ranch with us a lot. We miss her now because we won't get to see her as much, but I've really loved reading all the coverage of her trip to Europe this week, and I knew she'd be terrific, and she has been.
And you expect good things as her being the chief diplomat of
the country. Absolutely.
Well, you've been gracious with your time. Thank you, Mrs.
Bush. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Okay. Thanks a lot.